Hi, and welcome, or welcome back, to the Southside Baptist Church podcast. Following this episode, please take a moment and subscribe to the podcast and download our free app by searching SSBC Jax in the App Store or in Google Play. Through that, you can access our recent messages, help keep up with all that's going on here at Southside. Now, most importantly, we hope the following message inspires you to take your next step on your faith journey. Enjoy.
Well, good morning, Southside. Good morning. My name is Gary Weber. I'm the pastor here at Southside Baptist Church, and it is great to be with you. I want to talk to you today and for the next few weeks about a word that we use a lot and that has actually changed in meaning some over the last few years, and that is the word follow. We use the word really in a lot of different contexts, but I want you to think with me for just a few minutes about some of the ways we use the word follow. When you follow your favorite sports team. You may follow a particular athlete. You may follow a celebrity that you like. You may follow a particular politician or follow a news story. Social media, Instagram, you follow people. Twitter, you follow people. When we say we follow people, we don't literally mean that we walk behind them. We mean that we have a way to sort of keep up with them, to learn what's going on, what they're doing. We kind of spy in. Doesn't even mean we agree with everything they say or do, right? You don't agree with everything the people you follow on social media say. Sometimes you follow them because you don't agree with what they say and you just want to know what crazy, stupid thing they said most recently. So we follow people in terms of we just try to know something about them. We know what's going on with them. We are up to date. We're in the know. That's how we use the word follow. Back several months ago, I got a new follower, not in social media, but just in life in general, and his name is Benny, and this is what he looks like. Yeah, that's always a great way to start a sermon. You're sure to have everybody right away. So this is Benny. In a moment of weakness, I gave in, and we added a new member to our family. His name is Benedict Winston, and you know, like babies, puppies are early risers, which meant in my house that I am an early riser, which meant that I got the privilege in the mornings of dealing with Benny, who was wide awake and ready to go in the mornings. And through the course of the last several months, as Benny has grown, he's dressed up for you there with his bow tie on. As Benny has grown, he has taken to following me everywhere. He just follows me around the house. He follows me to the bathroom. He follows. If he thinks we're going to go outside, he is right on my heels. He is following me everywhere. Benny is my follower. But before you get too excited, Benny also chases his own tail and eats his poop sometimes. Benny follows me. But that doesn't mean Benny is becoming like me. You know, the phrase that we often associate with people who are Christians is this phrase, they are Jesus followers. Jesus followers. Followers of Jesus. We use that phrase a lot, but we have to be careful when we use that phrase, Jesus follower, to explain or understand it internally what we mean when we say we're following Jesus. Because if we're not careful, we can follow Jesus like we follow people on social media, like we follow celebrities, like we follow news stories, or even like Benny follows me, for what we can get out of it. What does it mean to follow after Jesus? And here, this is not a new problem for people who call themselves Jesus followers. It goes all the way back to the very beginning. One of Jesus' original followers was a man named Judas. And Judas had followed Jesus for 3 years. And yet, at the end, Judas betrayed Jesus. And so, is there a difference between following Jesus like Judas did and following Jesus like some of the other disciples did? The Apostle John, one of Jesus' earliest followers, years later when he's an old man, is writing to the church, to a new generation of Jesus' followers. And this is what he says to them in 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. Whoever claims to live in him, that's Jesus, whoever claims to live in Jesus must walk as Jesus did. That to follow Jesus doesn't just mean you are following him and keeping up with him and learning about him and where is he going now and what is he saying now. It means that you actually learn to walk the way that Jesus walked. Jesus' favorite invitation to people was to follow me. In fact, Jesus used this invitation so much, we have it recorded in all four Gospels that he said, follow me. In Matthew, he said it 7 times. In Mark, he said it 4 times. In Luke, he said it 4 times. In John, he said it 7 times, to follow after Jesus. And so for the next several weeks, we're going to engage in a series that we're calling Walk This Way. And yes, Aerosmith is probably running through your mind if you are a child of the 80s. If you don't know what we're talking about, you can look it up or ask your grandchild about it. What does it mean to walk like Jesus? What does it look like to actually walk in his steps, to be like him? Now, you might think, well, this seems like an awfully simple sermon series, an awful simple topic to talk about for the next 4 days. But the truth of the matter is, if you are a serious Jesus follower, you know this is the crux of the entire matter right here. What does it mean to walk like him? And here's why this is so important. Because John said, whoever wants to live in him must walk as Jesus did. So if we want to live in Jesus, if we want to be in him, and all that means both in this life and the next, we have to learn how to walk like Jesus walked. And here's where I want to warn you, especially if you are somebody who's in church a lot. Learning how to walk like Jesus is not just simply acquiring more knowledge. For many of us, you have been to Sunday school, you've been to Bible studies, you have heard sermons over and over and over again. It is not about acquiring more knowledge. It is about taking actions that make you more like Jesus. Being a Jesus follower doesn't mean that you give in to certain theological beliefs. It means that you are walking and moving and living and have your being inside of Jesus. And the reason this is so important is because I believe we live at a time in the world where more than any other time, people need to see what Jesus looked like. They need to see how Jesus would respond, what Jesus would say. And how do they see that? They see it in the lives of people who claim to be following him. And so we have to learn to walk as Jesus did, to follow after Jesus. There's another reason why I think this series is so important. Because I know many of you are right now trying to determine in your life, careers, family, what does God want me to do? What does God want me to do? And you're living your life in such a way that if you could just send an email and heaven could respond to you via email, you would send the email and get the answer because you want to know right now, what is it that God wants me to do? But I want to tell you something really, really important. God wants you to know what he wants you to do. He's not trying to keep it a secret from you. But the only way you're going to learn God's purpose for your life is by following Jesus, by walking the way he walks. And as you are following Jesus, he will make himself known to you. Now, let me talk to those of you in the room who would not call yourself believers. You would say, I'm not a Christian. I am glad you're here for this series, and here's why. Because I think the best way you can come to know Jesus is to follow after him for a little bit of time. Set aside a period of time and walk in Jesus' footsteps. Because you will come to know him, not by what you read or by what I say or by how other Christians behave. You will come to know Jesus best when you begin to walk as Jesus walked. You say, but I don't even believe. That's okay. Most of the disciples, when Jesus called them, did not believe in him the way you and I mean believe in him when they first started following him. They followed him, and as they were following him, they came to believe him. You can read these stories for yourself in the Bible. As they came to follow him, they learned what it meant to live in him and to follow after him. And so I want to just challenge you, if you're not a believer, I want you to come every week, I want you to listen to what we say about the way Jesus walked, and then I want you during the week just to say, I'm going to try this week and see if this doesn't influence what I believe and what I think about who Jesus is and the claims that he made. For those of you who are believers, but you're trying to determine what is it that God wants me to do, I want to tell you something. It is a whole lot easier to steer a car when it is moving than when it is parked. And so for some of us, what we need to do is we need to begin to take steps, one after the other, following Jesus, and then trust that as we are following him, he will direct us. And so 1 John 2, verse 6, let's put it back up here for just one second, says this. So to any, whoever claims to live in him. Now this week in your small groups, if you're part of a small group at Southside, we're going to take this time to talk about what it means to live in Jesus. We're going to look at John chapter 15 to talk about what it means to live in Jesus. But during our time on Sunday mornings, we're going to talk about what it looks like to walk as Jesus did. Now, we've already said it was his favorite way to invite people to follow him. He said, follow me all those times in the Gospels. I want to look at one of these in particular. You might this week want to look at all of those passages where Jesus said to follow him. They're listed for you in your notes inside your bulletin, and through the daily reading, you can look that up. But let's take a look at one of these times where Jesus extended the invitation to follow him and see what it tells us about the way Jesus walked. We can find this verse in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, and here's what Jesus said. He's talking to his disciples and all those would-be followers. He said, if anyone, that's an important word, if anyone, doesn't matter what your background is, what you've done, where you've been, who your family is, what your origin, what your religious heritage is, if anyone would come after me, so these are people who say, hey, I want to follow Jesus, what do they need to do? Let him or her deny himself and take up his cross, what's this word? Daily, and follow me. So what we learn from this passage is there are three specific things that we see in the life of Jesus about the way he walked that he is inviting us as his followers to also walk this way. So I want to look at each one of them. The first one, deny yourself. Three ways that we can walk as Jesus did is to walk humbly. The first way is that we walk humbly. This is what the apostle Paul said about Jesus. We find it in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 8. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he, what? He emptied himself, and taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So this verse talks about the humility of Jesus. But it's not just talking about the humility that we see in the cross and in his death. Certainly, the cross is a picture of the humility of God in Jesus Christ. But we see it long before that, and Paul's talking about that. He says he humbled himself and took on the form of a human. Even in the Christmas story, we see the humility of Jesus. That even though he was God, he did not consider equality with God something to hold on to, something to cling to, but he set it aside and took on flesh and came and lived among us. And so we see the humility of Jesus from birth. We see it in his baptism. We see it throughout his teachings. We see it throughout his ministry, that Jesus modeled and demonstrated tremendous humility. Now, humility and meekness is this idea that even though he had the authority, even though he had the power, he did not hold on to those things, but he was willing to set them aside for the good of other people. Look what it says, look what Paul said in Romans about Mark chapter 10, verse 45. Jesus said this about himself, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So the creator of the universe, the God of the universe, came to earth, and his purpose wasn't to come so that all of his creation could serve him. Instead, he came so that he, the creator of the universe, could serve the created. And then Jesus says to his disciples, follow me. Walk this way. Walk in humility. And so we have to ask ourselves, what does that mean for us? How do we walk in humility? What positions, what titles do you think you have that give you the right to a certain kind of treatment, to a certain kind of respect? And how are you about setting those rights aside in order to walk humbly, to give a picture to the world of what Jesus is like? Humility is not thinking less of yourself. Humility is thinking of yourself less. About a year ago, we did a series called Selfless. It's about a 5 or 6 week series. You can go online and check it out. And we talked about humility for 5 or 6 weeks because it is honestly such an important part of what it means to walk like Jesus walked. Now, if you want to know, do I need more humility in my life? Well, probably for most of us, the answer is yes. But here's a little test for you. How easily are you offended? How easily are you offended? And before you are quick to say, well, I don't get offended really easy. What about when you're on the road and somebody cuts you off? What about you when you're in the grocery line and somebody jumps in front of you? You see, there are all kinds of ways that we're tempted to be offended. We may be offended by what somebody says. We may be offended by the way someone dresses. We may be offended by somebody at work, somebody that we see on the street, somebody that we see on television, a politician. We may be offended by them. The ease with which you are offended and your humility exist in inverse proportion. Meaning, the more often you are offended, the less humble you probably are. So it's a good test for you just to say, am I becoming like Jesus? Am I walking like Jesus in humility? And let me tell you, this is something you have to practice every day. The world will give you countless opportunities this week to practice humility. Your family will give you countless opportunities this week to practice humility. Will you hold on to your rights, or are you willing to deny yourself? Are you going to walk humbly? The second thing that we learn about the way Jesus walked is that we are to walk in obedience. We walk humbly and we walk in obedience. Now, these two are connected. We already saw in Philippians chapter 2 how Jesus came to us in humility, and out of that humility, he was willing to be obedient even to the point of death. Without humility, there is no way we will walk in obedience unless our obedience is motivated by some selfish desire. So if we're going to walk in obedience, this means we walk the way Jesus walked. Jesus came humbly as a servant. He willingly gave his life on the cross. But even his willingness had to be exercised, had to become reality. Listen to what he said as he was about to die. Luke chapter 22, verse 42, as he prays to the Father. Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. You hear the humility in what he's saying. Not my will, yours be done. That Jesus was willing to be obedient. He was willing to serve us. Listen to what Paul said about the significance of this in Romans 5. For as by one man's disobedience, okay, so somebody who was not willing to do what they were supposed to do, that one man in this instance is Adam. By one man, by Adam's disobedience, the many were made sinners. Now, what Paul is saying here is that through one act of disobedience, we all find ourselves with the contaminant of sin in our lives. That came about through the choice of one person. But before you're too quick to blame Adam and Eve, you would have made the same decision, and so would I. And how do I know that? Because we make it every day, don't we? We choose to do the thing we know we ought not do. We choose to walk in disobedience. That had a start. It had a genesis. It had a beginning point. And so what Paul is saying is, for as by one man, as Adam's disobedience, the many were made sinners. That's us. That's you and me. So by the one man's obedience, now he's talking about Jesus, by one man's obedience, the many will be made, what's this word? Now catch this for me. Catch this. Just as Adam sinned and his sin became a contaminant that affects all of us, so Jesus' act of obedience, single act of obedience, results in the opportunity for all of us to be made righteous. That Jesus' obedience has an impact on us today. That his act of obedience makes a difference in our life. And if we are going to walk as Jesus did, we have to walk humbly, but we also have to be willing to walk obediently. And our act, your act of obedience, will have consequences that you may not even fully comprehend or understand. Some simple act of obedience on your part could affect generations that you have no knowledge of right now. Your obedience matters. You see, we live in a time where we're told that, you know, all of our actions, all of our reactions, all of our wants and desires, it's all about our personal preference and choice. And that your decision affects nobody else but you. But that's not true. First of all, your decisions affect the people who love you every day. But it's more than just the people who love you. Your decision to be obedient affects the people who know you, who watch you, who you don't even know they're watching you. Are you willing to walk in obedience? Jesus walked in obedience to the Father, and he calls us to walk that way. So just like Jesus walked humbly, we walk humbly. Just like Jesus walked obediently, we walk obediently. And finally, when he said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and the next word was daily, daily. So we also have to walk consistently. We walk consistently with Jesus. Jesus' walk was a consistent walk. And you might think, well, this sounds awful simple. After humility and obedience, consistency? I mean, even as I was writing it, I'm thinking, well, that just doesn't even carry the weight that I want it to carry. But think of the importance of this. Anybody can be obedient once or twice, right? I mean, you have even done that. You didn't even mean to be obedient, and you were sometimes, right? I mean, you weren't trying. You just did the right thing, and then you look back on it, and you think, oh, it was obedient. I mean, even a broken clock is right twice a day. Think about that for just a minute. Old school with the hands on the clock. So here's the thing. Your obedience itself, it does matter. It is important. But you know what is also important is how consistent you are in your walk of humility and in your walk of obedience. Consistency really matters. And Jesus was consistent. Look at these verses with me. What it says, the writer of Hebrews says in 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. That he hasn't changed. That Jesus is consistent. He lived his life consistently. His ministry was consistent. Jesus was consistent in everything. Not just while he lived, but throughout all eternity. That the way we come to faith in Jesus today is the same way the disciples came to faith 2,000 years ago. And should Jesus delay his return, it is the way people will come to faith 2,000 years from now. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And in a world where so much changes, isn't it nice to know that some things don't? That Jesus is the same. Listen to what the writer of Revelation, this is what John recorded that God said to him in Revelation. I am the Alpha and the Omega, that's the first and last letter of the Greek alphabet, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. That God is the same. He is unchanging. The writer of Hebrews said this about Jesus. Look to Jesus. He's writing to new believers. And he's saying, hey, if you want to be like him, look to Jesus, who is the founder and perfecter of our faith. This isn't something we came up with on our own. This is not an idea that Peter came up with and Paul came up with. There wasn't some group of people sitting around in a smoky dark room trying to say, what as Christians should we believe? What should we think? How should we live? How should the church be organized? No, none of that. We don't look to any of those people. We look to Jesus, who is the founder and the perfecter of our faith. That's where we get the model. That's where we get the template. For the joy that was set before him endured the cross. That he had the cross set before him before the creation of the world. And he set out in pursuit of you, knowing that the pursuit of you would require him climbing the hill of Calvary and giving his life on the cross. And he walked consistently. He walked humbly, and he walked obediently. And so the question for us, if we're going to walk as Jesus walked, are we able to do the same thing? And here's what's important for you to understand as we just think about what this means, as we look at this over the next few weeks and we take apart how Jesus walked and how we're called to walk. Don't wait until next week's sermon and the sermon series is over, to think I'm going to gain enough knowledge to somehow begin walking like Jesus. Walk the way Jesus walked now, and you will be amazed how you will learn more about him by doing than you ever did by simply hearing alone. Practice this at home. How can you demonstrate humility to your spouse? How can you demonstrate humility to your children, to your grandchildren, to your neighbor, to your coworkers? What will you do this week to practice and demonstrate obedience to what God has called you to do, who God has called you to be. And there may be ways that your act of obedience puts you in uncomfortable circumstances, situations and circumstances that may draw unwanted attention to you. The question then is, will you be consistent? Come on, it's easy to be obedient when it's convenient, right? I mean, as long as it's convenient to be obedient, we don't have any problem being obedient. But when obedience costs us something, when it's difficult to be obedient, that's when we have trouble being consistent in our obedience. How can you practice this at work? The world so desperately needs people who are in the marketplace, in government, out in the world, who are consistently in humility and in obedience walking with Jesus every day. There are people who will never pick up a Bible who can learn a lot about Jesus by watching your life. What are they learning? Are they seeing hypocrisy? Or are they seeing somebody who is walking the way that Jesus walked? And listen, this speaks to something that's really important for all of us. And this speaks to your integrity. The word integrity, this idea that you're the same and consistent everywhere, integrated, your life is integrated. Do you have a church self and a rest of the world self? Are you the same driving to church with your preschoolers in the car as you are when you walk into the preschool and check them in? Are you consistent in your walk? Listen, it's so important for the world to see people who claim to follow Jesus actually seeking to walk the way Jesus walked. And this doesn't mean that you're going to be perfect. None of us are. None of us are going to be perfect. But every time we fail, every time we fall short, it's an opportunity for God to deepen our faith and to strengthen our faith as we get up and we continue to follow him step by step by step. You can read in the Gospels all the ways that Jesus' earliest disciples failed and fell away from Jesus. Peter is a great example of that. And yet Peter was not judged by his failure, but by his willingness to pick himself back up and to once again fall in step with Jesus and walk the way Jesus did. And here's something else. If you want to understand what God's will for you is, if you want to know what is God's purpose, what is God's plan for me, I can tell you right now what it is. You ready? Get out a pen. Write this down. I don't see anybody getting out pens. Here it is. It's going to be profound. God's will for you is to be like Jesus. That's it. His desire for you, his will for you, is to be like Jesus. Now, I saw the pens go down. Like, come on, I thought he was going to give me something to help. Like, I got to pick a job. I gotta know what career I'm gonna follow. I gotta know what college I'm going to. I gotta figure things out. Being like Jesus doesn't answer those questions. Are you sure? Are you sure about that? How do you know that if you didn't just simply commit yourself to walking as Jesus walked, that he wouldn't answer all of those questions along the way? Look what it says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Now, before we move on, lean not on your own understanding. You know what that requires you to do? Walk humbly. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. If you aren't humble, you will lean on your own understanding of circumstances and situations every time. But if you're walking in humility, you're willing to lay aside your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. That means obedience. If you're acknowledging Jesus in all your ways, it means that in all your ways, you are seeking to be obedient to what he's called you to do. And if you will do those two things, if you will trust in the Lord with all your heart, if you'll lean not on your own understanding, if you will acknowledge him in all your ways, look what the promise is. He will direct your what? Path. See, here's the key. This is the secret. You often think that God's purpose and will for you is a destination, is a place, is a specific job, is a specific thing. It is not. God's will for you is always found in the path of following Jesus. As you are going, you begin to understand and know God's purpose for you. And sometimes that path may take you into certain relationships and in and out of those relationships and into certain careers and out of certain careers. But if you will follow Jesus, he will reveal to you his will and his purpose for you. So get started. And here's how you do it. Ready? Do the thing you already know God is calling you to do. Or stop doing the thing you already know God is calling you to stop. Now, is there anybody left who doesn't already know what they need to do next? Anybody? See, here's what, I don't mean to make this overly simplistic, but I really think it is this simple. Not easy. There's a difference between simple and easy. This is not easy, but it is simple. If you want to know God's will for your life, and if you want to come to understand Jesus more, do the next right thing. That's it. Take the next step towards Jesus. For some of you, maybe that means that it's time for you to quit that job. For some of you, maybe it means that it's time to say goodbye to that relationship. For some of you, maybe it's time for you to stop whatever it is that you know you need to stop. Medicating yourself through the internet, through pills, through the bottle, whatever it is. Just do the next right thing. And here's what's so amazing. As you take that step, it will require humility, it will require obedience, and yes, you will have to learn to be consistent in that, but as you take that step, God will continue to reveal himself to you and his will for your life. And here's another thing too, we're not doing this alone. We're doing this together in community. The church can help you, we can help you. This entire rest of the month, as we talk about this, enter into this journey with us. Even if you're not a believer, just enter this journey and say, what would it look like this week if I walked in humility and obedience, and if I were consistent in this? Would I come to know and believe in Jesus any more than I do right now? What do you have to lose? If at the end of the next 4 weeks you still don't believe in Jesus, well, we'll keep trying. But what if by walking as he walked, he opened your eyes to see who he really is? What if for some of you who are trying to determine specific answers for which job, what to do next, what to do with that child, what to do in response to your aging parents, what if you just took the next right step and God began to show you incrementally what it was he was calling you to do? Let the church help. Do the daily readings. Follow us on social media. Be a part of a small group this week where you can talk about these things more intensely and personally, and you can hold each other accountable. And finally, one of the things, and this seems so simple, but I'm convinced it's true. One of the things that I think God wants us to do is respond to the way he's already working in our life. How can you, already knowing what it is God's called you to do, the way God's gifted you, the way God's wired you, how can you take a step towards obedience in serving him? We've provided you a little card. It's got some information on it, some things that we believe at Southside about what it means to live in mission with Jesus and to follow after him. And there's a place for you. You say, you know, places that you might just take a step this year to say, I'm going to follow Jesus. I've always wanted to work. I've always loved working with people who English is not their first language. Maybe you would serve in ESL this next year, or maybe you would say, you know what, I really have a heart to pray for people. Maybe you would join our prayer ministry, or you love kids, and so you would be a part of our Next Gen ministry. But what we want you to do is just take this card this week and begin to pray. Jesus, is there a next step for me? And listen, this isn't a ploy to say, hey, we want you to volunteer at the church. I'm just saying, by taking a step in a safe place like church, God may begin to open your eyes and direct you in ways that you have been asking for and seeking for a very long time. Will you take a step and follow after Jesus? And the challenges are still going to come. The hardships are still going to come. The difficulties will still surely come your way. But every one will be an opportunity where God will train you. Jesus will lovingly pick you up when you fall off the track, off the path. And he will put you back on the path to follow after him. This is what John said. Let's read it one more time. Let's read it together. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Let's say it together one more time. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Now, I told you earlier about Benny. And he has become my walking partner. Some of you know I walk. Some of you have seen me out and you've been very gracious to say, I saw you out running the other day. Listen, if you ever see me running, call the police. I walk, I don't run. But Benny's become my walking partner. And he loves to go on a walk. He gets so excited. He loves the leash. He sees it, and he just starts getting very excited because he knows what's coming. He loves to walk with me, but the truth is, Benny is prone to wander. I mean, a cat, a squirrel, a lizard. I mean, he's off the track. You know what? I'm like that too. I really do want to walk with Jesus, but so many things distract me along the path. Every bright and shiny thing that comes by, and I'm off the path. I'm off the track. And Benny, that leash that he loves so much, when it's the idea of going on a walk, you put it on him, and when we go out, and sometimes he strains against the leash, he'll practically choke himself to death. He resists and pulls. Do you know the truth of the matter is? I do the same thing. I strain against the leash. I strain against God's hold on me. I pull against it. And Benny chases his own tail. So do I. And so do you. Right? That we chase our own tail, we get distracted, we find ourselves doing ridiculous things that make no sense. And all the time, Jesus is lovingly guiding us and leading us and saying, just follow me. Now, I know what you're thinking. There was another thing I said Benny did. And the truth is, and come on, many of you know what I'm talking about. There are so many ways that I return to absolutely disgusting and stinky aspects of my life all the time. Over and over again. Benny and I are not that different. But here's the truth. Following Jesus will not involve me learning more about him. And my guess is, for most of you in the room, it's not going to involve you learning more about him either. It's going to involve you taking the next step, following him in humility, following him in obedience, and being more consistent in that walk each and every day. I'm going to invite you to pray with me. And as we pray, the musicians are going to come back up. And we're going to have a time of commitment and invitation today. And the invitation is just going to be pretty simple. For most of us in the room who call ourselves Jesus followers, and we can relate to Benny, maybe today is just that moment where you would just say, I'm going to recommit my life to following after him. I'm going to commit myself to taking that next right step, whatever it is. For some of you, that next step may be a huge leap of faith. For some of you, it may be something very simple. For some, it may be something public that others will see and recognize. For some of you, it will be private and nobody will ever know. But here's the question today. Will you do it? Not will you think about it. Not will you consider it. Not even will you pray about it. Come on, Christians. I'll pray about that. Will you do it? Will you do it this week? Will you do it today? And trust that the promises of God are true. That as you trust in him with all your heart, as you lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways as you acknowledge him, that he will begin to direct your path step by step, day by day. I'm going to invite you to stand. And maybe today you would just come down here and pray with me, pray with others who come and pray with you, pray at these steps, and just commit yourself to saying, I will follow after Jesus. I'm coming to him with all my brokenness. I'm coming to him with all my wounds, with all my problems. But today I'm going to take that step and follow him. Jesus, we thank you for lovingly pursuing us, that when we would run away following every squirrel and lizard that distracts us, that you still pursue us. Father, that you would guide us not to places that are unpleasant, but to the beautiful pastures that you have laid out for us, Lord, the promises that you have in store for us. Would you give us the faith to trust in you more? Lord, we pray that we would have the humility of Jesus, that we might be courageously obedient this week. And Father, for the ways that we've been inconsistent in our obedience, the ways we've been inconsistent in our walk, Lord, would your Holy Spirit just come in and show us that we might repent of that sin, and that we might turn back to you and pick up and take the next step in your direction. Lord, we love you. And I just pray that all over this room, for all of us, that you would open our eyes to see what is the next step we can take to walk the way Jesus walked and to follow him. For we pray this in his name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you live in the Jacksonville area, we'd love to engage with you during our Sunday gatherings here on campus. If you haven't already, please take a moment and subscribe to this podcast and download our free app by searching SSBC Jax in the App Store or in Google Play. You can get access to our recent messages and keep up with all that's going on here at Southside. For directions, for service times, and information about our wonderful next-gen children environments, please visit us at ssbc.org.